And with me. Yeah! Yes! Your fear make you speak. Yeah! Yeah! Sam, you're right. Small price. Yeah!
Yeah! Metro City Money, AM 570 LA Sports, a full 4-hour show today as we are in the midst of Rivalry Week. It has been discussed. It will be discussed much more.
So deeply.
Missed it.
So deeply discussed.
It is also react to Monday Night Football in the moment day, and Tom Telesco joined us earlier.
Oh, Matt, we got to discuss it again.
Story of the day.
You put the questions to him. He sidestepped like Darren Sproles, but you asked the questions about Philip Rivers, because I'll tell you, it was more than a river. The river really overran. But the levee broke last night on Twitter about people calling out Philip Rivers and all the memes and all the, he's washed up! Give him to the cartels! Leave him in Mexico! I mean, there was a lot out there.
Nationally televised games, you get a lot of emotion. A lot of emotion. It's the only thing going on a Monday night. Yeah. Let's react.
You know, at least he was out there competing. But his arm was clearly hurt or something. Well, you know, the Clippers are off tonight. They host the Boston Celtics tomorrow. Pregame is at 6 right here on AM 570 LA Sports. We got
all the games.
Rivalry week, like you said, Matt, on Saturday. UCLA basketball takes on Hofstra on Thursday night.
Hofstra?
Wayne Krabet is now their head coach, basketball.
Is that right?
Yep.
Two sports star, huh?
At 8 p.m. on AM 1150. A lot of people don't know that it's Wayne Krabet's fault that Stuart Scott's eye was all wacky.
Put him on that jugs machine,
you
right?
Should have never done it.
Oh, come on. Let me get in there.
Yeah. Bang. All right. Quick hands.
Maybe next time, just, I don't know, snap a photo of it or something.
Not going to be a next time.
Post it to your...
Sadly.
That's right.
You know, in the NFL, we got a doubleheader on 570. That's Raiders-Jets. And then the biggest game in the history of games, Cowboys-Pats.
So huge.
And even though Dan Wojcicki, who lives in Long Beach, knew nothing about the history of the Carpenters and had a batitude regarding the Carpenters yesterday and really ruffled Ronnie's feathers and fogged his glasses. Next Monday,
appreciate that, Dan.
We are going to be live in Downey, home of the Carpenters.
Exactly right.
At BJ's, man.
We can now say, make your plans.
Make them now.
After a two-week sabbatical from our Monday Night Football BJ's Restaurants and Brewhouse appearances, we are back.
Less than a week away now.
It will be Monday, southwest corner of the Stonewood Mall. It is Firestone Boulevard,
right.
Lakewood Boulevard.
And not Lake Fire, because
Lake
nobody
Fire.
Wants to go to the Lake of Fire and
no.
fry.
See you again on the 4th of July. So it is the Stonewood Mall. We've been there before. It is a great, wide-open location. Love doing it at the Downey BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse. And remember,
it's closer.
Oh, yeah. We long to be close to home.
And close to you.
And close to you.
The listener.
Exactly right. But the commute does help as well.
That's right. So we'll see you there. We'll have giveaways. Kate's is working on a big guest. Well, come on. If Bosco wins, we'll have Negro. They'll be headed to the state championships.
CIF championship.
Okay, well, then after that is the state.
And what if they don't win?
Then we'll probably get Ron Say back.
That was a good one. That was a really good one.
Were you there?
I heard. I heard how friendly he was and how excited he was about the appearance.
You were in London.
Yeah. I'm excited for this one, that's for sure.
You sure are. That's next Monday at BJ's in Downey. Right, like Matt said, at the Stonewood Mall on the corner of Firestone and Lakewood. We want to be close to you. It's time for the final hour fun fact, everybody.
It's fun in effect. It's the hour 3.
Fun facts! Fun facts!
We are your tattoo show of record.
Without a doubt.
Early 1900s.
Although cartoon has never been on our show.
No. Early 1900s.
Tom Berg, SoCal Tattoo, has been.
Live in studio many times.
And Terry.
As a matter of fact. And his clients. That he has tattooed. Kenyon Martin came on the show, talked about getting tattooed by Tom Berg.
Matt Barnes. Mercedes Lewis.
Right. Was Trevor Ariza ever tattooed by Tom Berg?
Why not?
Let's go. Early 1900s, the U.S. government declared that anyone with an, and I'm doing air quotes, obscene tattoo would not be allowed in the Navy. Young men from east to west and north to south.
What about an aloha monkey where the butthole is an O for aloha? Is that?
I believe that would also be obscene, I'm guessing.
Oh, no.
They went out of their way to get naked lady tattoos so they would not be drafted into the Navy.
Oh, sweet.
Like, well, I'd love to serve, but I got this naked lady tattoo right here on my forearm. That is the proliferation of the naked lady tattoo.
Wow.
Because of what the U.S. government declared. However, when they joined the Navy or were drafted into the Navy, the U.S. government made them put clothes on them naked ladies. They had to cover up their goods so they could serve in the Navy without an obscene tattoo.
Listen, showing way too much skin on that tattoo. Covered up with a risque outfit. You can keep the shape of those boobs.
Can I do like a garter belt and a bra? No, it's a bathing suit, okay?
Something tasteful. A one piece.
A cocktail dressed.
Quick hits!
The PMS quick hits. I'll make it quick, y'all. Oh, yeah!
Brought to you by Morongo Casino, 90 minutes from wherever you are. Morongo!
Good times!
And the Lakers host the OKC Thunder tonight, like the Clippers did last night. The Lakers are excellent and have a good chance to become like 17-2 on the season with the teams that are coming in. Dave Chappelle came and spoke to them as part of the
Genius Series!
Genius Series.
I am so happy I signed here because Rob Pelinka has a thing called the Genius Series, and I get to sit and be spoken to by guys like David Blaine and Dave Chappelle.
Can you imagine the question from Rob Pelinka? Like, Dave, over here. Tell us a little bit about when you did that one skit about picking all the races against each other. Talk a little bit about that one, the racial draft.
I mean, Kate's trying to be Hot Topic here. It's Hot Topic Tim.
Wow.
What he's doing with that one.
Talk about how it's okay to say the F word and not okay to say the N word, but not okay, but okay to say the N word and it's cool to say the
Genius
F
Series.
Word.
I will say this, and I
you
did
say
enjoy.
It. Say it, man.
I did enjoy.
Just say it. Just do it.
Dave Chappelle inside the Actor Studios, one of the best episodes of that particular show. But
we all appreciate Dave Chappelle.
If I'm rolling into a room and Chappelle's going to be there, I'm a little stand up, man.
Yeah.
I appreciate that you're a genius, but I would prefer actually to just have you.
I don't care about your process.
Do some stand up and make me laugh.
Geek it up.
That's what I'm looking for.
Geek it up.
I mean, David Blaine, hey, dude, float.
Yeah, do something.
Let me see you float, dude. I don't care about how you do it or
Blaine,
how hard you work at it.
Go in a box for a month. Come out in a month and wow us.
Right? That's what I'm looking for here.
We don't know if Kawhi Leonard's going to play tomorrow night. That's always the story.
Don't you all feel stupid now? He's hurt. He's legitimately injured. What? Don't you all feel stupid? Stupid.
He banged his knee.
Questioning load management.
He banged his knee, okay?
Legitimately injured.
Carmelo is going to wear 00 for Portland, and he'll be available to play tonight. Against the Pelicans. Hey, way to go, Carmelo.
Man.
Couldn't have happened to a more team-oriented guy.
I did not think I was going to fire up my league pass tonight. Because I just got back from being gone for 3 days. Want to spend time with my kids.
Yeah, Matt. I mean, what a tough call.
Man. Now that I know ISO ball is back,
it's on.
And I get to see that pudgy dude dribble the ball 18 times before taking an 18-foot fall away. Whoo! League pass!
There's plenty of ISO ball in Houston. It's never gone anywhere.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Tonight's the Malice in the Palace Brawl anniversary. Where were you when all those people started fighting?
A bad religion show at the Palladium.
Almost the same thing. I was at Barry Tompkins' house in Ross, California at a crab bake.
It is funny, though. You know exactly where you were.
Call it a cow game.
Because word started spreading, and you're like, huh, what? Hey.
There was the Malice of the Palace! We got sign-stealing central. I mean, look, there's some Manfred quotes here, but we already talked to John Boy, so we know what's going on. But as far as the cheating scandal, sign-stealing scandal, Manfred says, I have no reason to believe it extends beyond the Astros at this point in time. On potential discipline, Manfred says, era, the general warning I issued to the clubs, I stand by, era, era, era. I certainly couldn't be all of those things, era, era, by my authority, era, brada, era, those things, era.
We're going to boot him from the league for a couple, 2-3 years.
Yeah, he has the authority to hammer them.
But, I mean, we have Bluetooth batting gloves. I mean, how much more ridiculous is this thing going to get? It has gone from a trash can to a whistle to now buzzing Bluetooth batting gloves. Oh, here comes the deuce. Cacao!
Manfred on the Manfred on the gravity of the allegations against the Astros. Era, any allegations that relate, era, in terms of, era, the rule of violation, era, could make itself scarce, era, to affect the outcome of a game or games, era.
I thought you were going to whistle more
manner,
because
era.
Of the gap in his tooth.
Era.
We have what is going to be a really thorough investigation.
Very thorough investigation. Ongoing era. I'm going to bring a hammer. Antonio Brown said he was sorry.
Well, he has gone from F-U to my bad.
Black man can't get a job.
To check out my bank account. I got $24 million in it. To F-U. To, hey, Kraft, remember when you got that happy ending there? Huh? Huh,
yeah,
for?
Yeah, that was bad.
To
sincerely, my bad, though.
My bad, man.
My bad, though, for
man,
real.
That I blew that.
For real.
I am so sorry.
That is my bad, though.
I am, man. I thank you sincerely, A-B.
And my bad.
And F-U and F-U and F-U.
You know, it's,
and my bad.
It seems like he struggles with kind of a split personality.
Tends to, maybe an editor. Maybe just a personal editor that walks with you everywhere you go.
Well, it seems to be a lot of Jesus talk.
There's that.
And Jesus wouldn't be like, hey, remember that happy ending? You know, Jesus rolled with a lot of people that administers happy endings, and he was cool with it.
We're all flawed.
Exactly
right.
Let's
be flawed together.
Let's be flawed together. Speaking of flaws, the Kings are off tonight, and they're way under 500.
Oh, God.
They're 8-12 on the season, but this is L.A., and it's our city, our home. And they host the Edmonton Oilers.
Los Angeles.
Well, we don't walk alone, Matt.
That's right.
Not when you're up in the game with the Staples.
Hey, guys. I like that song, okay?
It's a good one, all right.
I like that song, okay?
And if you want to be, if you can't be with the Kings faithful singing along, you can listen on the iHeartRadio app, the Kings channel, which is available to you.
Kings Hockey is brought to you by Morongo Casino. Oh, good times.
Tom Telesco and the future of Philip Rivers and the voice of the Bolts. Next.
How many times have you told me now that you've tried?
Bienvenidos, everybody. What's cracking and welcome back. The Petros and Money Show is on the air. And how do I know the Chargers all made it back from Mexico City? Smiling, happy people. Matt Money Smith is in the house. The voice of the Bolts who returned with the Chargers last night. A rousing game that ended in disappointment in Estadio Azteca. But fresh off that loss, always accountable and always a friend of the show. The GM of the Chargers joins us on the Chevy Silverado Celebrity Hotline.
It is, especially a Torta Tuesday.
Exactly.
With General Manager Tom Telesco, another
Street Tortoise.
Heartbreaking loss for the Chargers, gut-wrenching, if you will. Last possession and another turnover to end a game that was a single-score affair. The Chargers slipped to 4-7. The Chiefs improved to 7-4. And joining us is that General Manager Tom Telesco on the Chevy Silverado Celebrity Hotline. Tom, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Thanks, guys.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time. I guess we'll start with what you take away from 7 losses, all of them one-score games, and I think 5 of them, maybe 6, coming in the last possession when you had the ball on offense and just can't quite get over that hump to get victory.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these games were games that we pulled out last year, and this year it's been the opposite. And as we saw yesterday, like you said, it's gut-wrenching. We played well. As far as statistically, and had a chance to win it at the end, and I fully expected with 3 shots at the 11-yard line, we're going to punch in with one of those, and Anthony goes for 2, and we walk away a winner. But, really, it's come down to a lot of the same things that we've seen in other games. I mean, it's turnover differential in red zone efficiency. And, you can have all the yards in the world, and as far as gaining yards on offense and really shutting them down in the first half on defense, and that's a great offense. But you got to win at least 2 out of those 3 as far as turnovers, third down and red zone, and we lost 2 out of 3 there and just couldn't quite finish it off last night.
In terms of the way the game ended, another interception in the red zone for Rivers, are you concerned about Philip? And how concerned are you based on what his production was last year to what we're seeing this year?
Well, obviously, just offense in a whole, and it starts with the quarterback. Obviously, we're just turning the ball over too much, and as we watched that game last night, I mean, some are his fault, and he said that, and some are not. I mean, you can't absolve the other 10 players on the field as well. So we just got to do a better job protecting the football. That's been a key thing for us this year. On defense, sometimes those turnovers come in bunches. You hope on offense, giving up the ball does not come in bunches. We've seen that the last 2 weeks. But we show what we're capable of yesterday, certainly in the first half and even in the fourth quarter. The run game was clicking. We were run blocking extremely well. And in a pass game, we had 52 dropbacks, and you know, with some young tackles out there, I was pretty proud with how they played. I mean, Frank Clark is going to get his pressures. He had a couple on Trey Pipkins, including one that essentially turned into a Phillip interception that wasn't really so much on Phillip. But yeah, we just got to be able to do a better job protecting the ball. We have enough skilled players on offense that we can score. But as we saw yesterday, you can't settle for field goals in the red zone either, especially against the Chiefs. We got to punch those in for touchdowns. We didn't get that done yesterday.
It's interesting. Tom Telesco joins us right now on the Petros and Money Show. The Chargers went into the season with real Super Bowl expectations and people picking the Chargers to be in and win the Super Bowl. I'm not saying that's not going to happen, but certainly the season isn't trending in that direction. What do you do with adjusted expectations as far as being the GM as the season goes on? How is that addressed with everybody, if it is at all?
Well, that's a valid question. And I think fortunately, or unfortunately, I guess, depending on what your opinion is, our philosophy and culture is to fight to win these last five games the exact same way we fought in the first 11 games. So there's no change there. We don't treat this like baseball where there's September call-ups late in the year, or even in basketball where you start up draft positioning. We just don't look at it like that. Now, some may think that's short-sighted, but we'll concede nothing, and our fight to win is everything, and that's the way we'll finish off this year. And you never know how it might end, but that's the way we're going to approach it. We always have high expectations for ourselves. Obviously, like you said, this season has not gone the way we had hoped, and that's on us. That's on all of us to get it straightened out, and we'll fight to the finish this year, and then we'll worry about 2020 when we get there.
Obviously, you don't go anywhere without trying to get a victory. Every road trip is that's the only goal for a professional football team. But going to a different country and having the experience you guys had in Colorado is different. It's different for an NFL football team. Overall, would you say, you know, without having, you know, lost, the experience, was it a success or not? What was it like to have a game in Mexico City?
Well, obviously, like you said, the result wasn't what we wanted, so it wasn't a success. But yeah, I think over a 17-week season, it's a grind, and it's the same schedule every day. So I think us getting away for a week to Colorado Springs, I think there were a lot of benefits to it, both physiologically, I think psychologically, the guys being around each other, just get out into a different environment. And then playing the game in Mexico City, it was exciting. It was a great atmosphere. It kind of felt like a big bowl game. You know, I don't know what the crowd was, and you know, it was at least 50-50, I think. And they were loud, you know, 76,000 people, they were into it. And it was a great atmosphere. You know, it felt like a playoff game atmosphere. Obviously, we had to treat it like a playoff game with where we are record-wise. But, you know, everything worked well. We had a good week of practice. I thought we had a great game plan going in. We saw that on the field. We just made, you know, too many mistakes, and the result wasn't what we wanted it to be.
In terms of just kind of going back to the rest of the season, and obviously, look, you went out, you still have a chance to make it into the playoffs, especially if you're getting healthy. But how much will that impact based on where your record is, you know, through a game or two, and how that playoff picture is looking? Because you got players that are injured, and the decision to bring back Derwin James or to activate Russell Okun or Adrian Phillips, does that come into play at all based on where you're at in the standings and whether or not you want those guys to play this year if they're not 100%?
Well, if a player's 100% and everyone's on board and he's cleared, I mean, the way we operate here is we're trying to win every single game no matter what their record is, and that's just the way our culture is going to be here, and that will not change. So all those guys, if they're able to play, they will play, and it doesn't matter what our record is. And, you know, there's 16 of these games. They're all precious. They're all important to us, and you know, we're going to try and win every one of these five, no matter what our final record is. Like you said, there's still an outside chance, but not so much concern about that right now as far as beating Denver and moving on from there. But no, if those guys are ready to go, they're medically cleared, they'll be on the field.
I mean, probably same sort of question, and I would imagine maybe same sort of answer, but what about younger players and taking inventory late in the season? And I know a lot of people have probably asked you, Tom, at least they're asking us, is especially at the quarterback position and what you have there and whether or not you try to evaluate each position differently as the season progresses.
Yeah, we would certainly never use regular season games just to put players in to evaluate them. Like I said earlier, like this is not a base, at least here, this is not a baseball philosophy where if you're out of the pennant race and you have your September call-ups from the minor leagues and you get some guys at bats and some innings pitched, that's just not the way we work. Now, by nature, with some of the injuries we've had already this year, there's already younger players playing. For instance, Trey Pipkins, you know, he's played really two full games at this point, and he wasn't slated really to play much at all this year. So we do have some younger players that are playing early. Roderick Teamer and a number of these guys, just by the injuries, they're having to play. But we certainly won't use these games to test out anything at any position.
Tom, we heard Austin Ekeler on with Daniel in the pregame, and he was asking him about what he looks at in film and how effective he's become in the passing game. And it was interesting. His answer was, I didn't know what I was doing when I was in college. I just went out there and tried to win those one-on-ones. He said, now you kind of know tendencies and which way a guy's leaning. And like, how big of a jump is that regularly that you see from someone you scout in college to when they get into your organization, all the tools you give them to become better football players, to be able to make those type of leaps? And Austin's now in the conversation as the best pass-catching running back in the league.
That's a great perspective, because I say at least 90% of the college players that come out are in the same boat he is. Even myself, when I played in college, I mean, now I know at this job, I know how to watch film. I know how to look for tendencies. I know how to scout the opponent. When I was in college, I had no idea. Just had no idea. I knew what the play call was. I knew what the defense was going to be. And you try and win your one-on-one matchup. And then for players like Austin Ekeler and a lot of our other guys, where they're just so physically gifted, better than the player they're playing against, they can just rely on their complete athletic ability and natural talents to beat that other player in one-on-one. But when you get to this level, everybody's better. The schemes are more complicated. And that's where the film study comes in. And boy, I can't say enough good things about Austin Ekeler as far as him as a football player, just how gifted he is physically. But you combine that with his preparation, like you just mentioned, his grit, his determination, his will to win. I mean, that's a football player right there. And I think you're seeing that high-level production because he's combining his physical talents with the off-the-field preparation, which you have to have at this level.
Hey, I resent that, all right? I knew what to do when there was a gap call, all right, in a college football game. I knew what to do. I didn't just go out there and just wing it, all right, Tom? I knew what to do. Okay, I knew what the song. I knew what was coming
plays.
When
you
I saw
a,
the.
You had a trap, a power, a counter.
No, how dare you? Hey, when they mugged up in the saw dog, I knew what to do when I saw that saw dog. Anyway.
Yeah, they threw the ball.
Usually, yes, we got out of it. Speaking of that, as far as like a guy honing his game, a guy from Western State is one thing. What about Bosa? What about a guy like that? How does he hone his game when he's even a superior athlete at the pro level?
I think it's just what Money had mentioned. You know, Joey, as far as his preparation, as far as the tackles he'll be facing, to watch them, see their strengths, see their weaknesses, see what their tendencies are. And then Joey looking at his game, you know, at the end of each season and see, you know, what can I improve on? And, I mean, this year he's been really a force, both run and pass. I mean, he's one of our better run defenders on the line of scrimmage. Obviously, we know he can rush the passer. He will chase plays sideline to sideline. And he takes that physical ability, and then it's the film work and knowing the players you're going to play against. Every tackle is a little bit different that you're going to face. You go in with a game plan, you try and execute it.
What are you doing on the bye week, Tom?
Well, a bye week is usually some self-scouting of ourselves. Now, this bye week's a little bit later than you would like as far as self-scouting yourself and just kind of see where we are. But that's what I'll do as far as our team's concerned. I'll get in a little bit of college tape this week. And this is a chance to get a lot of work done because it's nice and quiet. You know, there's no practice. There's just some, you know, a group of players in here doing rehab. I'll get a chance to kind of just sit at your desk and get a lot of work done this week.
Always great to hear your perspective. That's Tom Telesco, Chargers GM, Chargers on a bye week.
Chargers!
Maybe he'll get out and enjoy the USC-UCLA game at the Coliseum.
Ooh.
You know, take in some of the local flavor here in LA.
That's a yes, sir.
Take a look at some of those guys. You know, see some of those guys, what they're doing. All right, Tom, God bless you. Have a great day.
All right, thank you, guys. Take care.
And welcome back to the United States. Los Estados Unidos. We'll be right back on the Petros and Money Show with more great sports talk.
Great sports talk.
Worn out places, worn out faces.
O'Brien, also known as
John Boy
on Twitter, John Boy Media. The Astros cheating guy, and he's so funny, and he swears, and he's got a cool baseball style and acumen. Interesting interview about something that has really inflamed Don Martin, our boss, who's stalking the halls.
Yes, we could have had a parade. I was going to do a Valley parade. We were going to do a West Side parade. We were going to do a Riverside San Bernardino parade.
Yeah, unincorporated Agoura parade, you mentioned.
You guys were going to do Long Beach to OC parade. Rogan was going to do Calabasas, and then was going to hand off to me in Agoura.
North OC, South OC to Pendleton.
And now, nothing.
Nothing.
We got F.
Because of cheaters.
Hard.
What can you do? But we do have programming on the station. We're running all the games this week on the station. We got Rivalry Week. SC versus UCLA pregame starts at 10.
When do our Rivalry Week interviews start?
You know, we discussed this a little bit yesterday, Matt.
When's Beben coming on?
A lot of people thought, I mean, so much so to where the crew that I was on was starting to prepare and like license music, that we had the SC-UCLA game. And the board got done and all that. And then suddenly ABC, because Oregon clinched and Arizona's not playing too well.
They pulled the rug out from under you?
ABC snatched the game and put it on right here at 12:30. And so how much do I want to cover Rivalry Week?
Not much.
I mean, we did talk about it a little
bit. Not much.
Yesterday, when do the interviews start? You know, I'm not sure. I wanted to get Arthur C. Bartner on because it's his last game, the greatest band director, the director of the Spirit of Troy. But it turns out there's a controversy that the Spirit of Troy played while they were honoring a Cal football player that died working out in the offseason accidentally during the game I covered. Oh. So they were like, you know, and please, a moment of silence. So now I just don't know. Now, if you want Beben, look, I'll talk Rivalry Week.
Beben, TD, J-Rob. I mean, look, we got our go-tos.
We do.
Marinovich.
Todd. I hope he's...
Right?
You know, seasons change.
J.J. Stokes.
It's not really that impactful of a game, Matt.
Get Farmer on.
Unless the Utes lose to Arizona in the game I'm doing. Kickoff is at 12:30 right here.
Impactful game.
On AM 570 LA Sports. We're going to polish up those Utes. They're pretty good.
Khalil Tate still playing?
Not as much. You know, Sunday we got an NFL doubleheader with the Chargers off on AM 570. You got Raiders Jets.
Double up.
Is that a Tim Cates radio network? Oh, that's awesome.
That's back-to-back weeks. Tim Cates on AM 570 LA Sports, your home for NFL football in Los Angeles.
And America's team versus America's team.
Cowboys, Patriots.
Spider-Man pointing at himself.
What do you want? You want the Wild West? Or do you want those that vanquished the Redcoats?
I mean, it's really one or the other. I mean, you want the guys that stood strong in the Alamo or the guys that stood up to those freaking bad-toothed Brits?
Tough call.
It really is.
Colin Cowherd said it's the biggest regular season game in almost 3 years.
It is? Is that like an algorithm-based thing? Like he plugs in some variables and some numbers and spits out?
It's the Patriots versus America's team. It's Brady versus Dak.
Oh, so he's like talking, hey, ratings.
Oh.
How many eyeballs are going to be on a screen watching this game?
Well, I'll watch it.
I'll watch
if
it.
If I'm not too
Actually,
tired.
I'll listen to it. I'll do the radio call
right
there.
Here on AM 570.
Right here.
That's right. Matt, your dead guy birthday of the day.
That's what I'm going to do.
As we are your Western show of record.
That's the truth.
TV show, novel, movie.
Not even close.
Western show of record. And we're in the West. Right?
In case you gave him a, huh, that was an epiphany you just had?
Yeah.
How about
here
that?
We are.
Just realized that.
And ready for this, Gates? We're here in Burbank, where there's a lot of sound stages. They shot a few Westerns back in the day, too.
Don't be an idiot. I know that.
Oh, come on. It would have been better.
Author Jack Schaefer is 112 years old today, the author of the great Western novel, Shane.
Oh, yeah. Love Shane.
We, of course, understand the West.
And we are your high school, middle school required reading show of record, too.
And Shane is a notable Western novel and movie. 1953, starring Alan Ladd.
Good old Alan.
Jack Schaefer went to Oberlin College.
Ooh.
Had a long career as a journalist for the United Press, the UP. The smaller little brother of the AP.
But they fought their ass off.
Oh, man.
And they might have lost, but they'll bruise you up.
United in nature.
Exactly.
Well. He wrote Shane as his first novel in 1949, which, of course, was based in Wyoming. Kanye West's Wyoming. But he wrote Shane having never been to the West.
Okay.
Just sat there in Ohio and wrote it up. But Shane was a big success. Almost too cliche of a Western story about a mysterious drifter who helps a family of homesteaders against some evil dudes.
Okay.
Trying to push them off the land. Shane be shooting everybody.
It's like John Wick, pre-John Wick.
Shoots a lot of dudes.
just gonna yeah. Shoot a bunch of dudes.
And at the end, the child who thinks Shane is a hero.
Don't ruin it.
Come back.
Don't ruin it.
I mean, it's pretty
old. Fine novel.
1949.
But still, a lot of people.
After the success of Shane, Schaefer took a second wife and moved to Santa Fe and was like, now I'm really Western. I'm boning this chick in Santa Fe. And a whole bunch of Westerns he wrote, like The Big Range, Old Ramon, Incident on the Trail.
Okay.
That one was pretty self-explanatory.
Keep it going here.
Where's it going to go down, though? On the trail, that's where. And a children's book called Stubby Pringles Christmas.
I'm sorry?
Stubby Pringles.
Okay.
Christmas. And a book.
You know what? Hold on. Okay. Some horns for that.
In the book, Monty Walsh became a Lee Marvin movie and then a Selleck TV movie in 03.
Hmm.
Schaefer died in Santa Fe in 91, the author of Shane!
Shane!
There it is.
Don't go, Shane.
Don't Shane. Your live guy birthday of the day. Do want to acknowledge a couple former friends of the show. I think we would call them former friends of the show. Eric Musselman, 55.
Let's go Pack. USC just beat him.
Jim L. Mora.
He's at LSU now.
Let's go LSU. Hold that tiger.
Exactly right.
Jim Mora.
Jim L. Mora.
The dad?
Count on Me Foundation. No, our friend.
Oh, yeah.
Really got along with him.
You know the head coach of Nevada is now, right? Steve Alford.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Jim Elmore is 58, and one of your father's closest friends. Not a friend of the show, but you know, to some degree, we extend that friendship to him because of how tight he and your dad are. Bobby Moore.
Yes.
He's 70 today.
Well, that's not his name anymore.
I'm sorry?
That's a hefty list of alive guys, Matt.
And I passed them all up because much like we are your Western show of record, we are your super cool indie flick.
Oh,
show of record.
Yes.
And it's not even close.
The third band.
Not even close.
I mean, Blue Velvet.
We love independent movies.
Oh, we. Chasing Amy.
So, happy 61st to Charles Stewart Kaufman, a man Bobby Ebert called, or whose directorial debut.
Bobby Hebert.
Bobby Ebert called Schenectady, New York, the best movie of the decade.
Schenectady?
It is not Schenectady, but Schenectady. Schenectady, New York. I was like, is that Schenectady?
It's like the Battle of Quaker Heights.
It's this is the dude that has done the trippiest films of all time. Like, you are convinced, wow, did I like accidentally take some acid or something and turn on the TV?
What's the most known one?
Hit it, Cates.
This Maxine likes to call me Lottie.
Ouch. That is hot. Maybe she's using you to channel some dead lesbian lover. Sounds like my kind of gal. Let me know when you're done with her, yeah?
What are you talking about? Done with her, man. Tonight really freaked me out.
You're nuts to let a girl go that calls you Lottie. I'll tell you that as a friend.
Charlie, I don't know anything about the girl, man. She could be like a witch or something.
That's even better. Hot lesbian witches. Think about it. It's genius.
I gotta know the truth, Charlie.
Truth is for suckers, Johnny boy.
That's right. Being John Malkovich.
The best.
Kaufman. So I'll say this. Blind spot. Schenectady, New York. Never seen Kaufman's masterpiece. And after watching the trailer and reading the reviews, I guess take this if you like his movies. This was one that was not, I guess, widely released, but it won like every critics award, the Palme d'Or, all that sort of stuff. I had no idea it existed, so I'll consume that one. But yeah, Kaufman's the guy. Born in New York, West Hartford for high school, went to NYU Film School, wrote for the National Lampoon TV show, episodes of Newhart, Married with Children, and Being John Malkovich. How about this? Was turned down by every studio multiple times, and the only reason it got made is because somehow it landed on Francis Ford Coppola's desk, and he was trying to find a film for his new son-in-law, Spike Jonze. And he was like, hey, I think this is right up your alley, Spike. That's how that film got made.
Can we get Malkovich? Because if you can't get Malkovich, I mean, that pretty much blows the...
That's it.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. If you can't get Malkovich for Being John Malkovich, you're screwed. You can't turn it into...
Being
Bob Loggia.
Yeah, you could.
But only we would go watch.
Again, super awkward but awesome film. He also did, which I think is one of the greatest, I shouldn't say greatest, but most effed up, like what the F is going on films, Adaptations his, with Nick Cage playing
him and
his twin brother the murder mystery and the author. But it's also about Kaufman's kind of real life and experiencing writer's block. That's brilliant. Remember, he won his first Oscar for writing Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Remember when Jim Carrey was relevant there?
Hey, he does great paintings of Trump looking all ugly. Jim Carrey is a real artist.
I wanted
How
to see,
you,
I wanted to see what Carrey was up to in 2019, 2020. And you'll be pleased to know Jim Carrey.
He paints beautifully.
Is going to play... Dr. Robotnik.
Oh, I heard about this. Yeah.
Live version of Sonic the Hedgehog to be released early next year. He is what is known as a filmmaker's filmmaker, a screenwriter's screenwriter.
Like Lars von Trier, Matt.
That is one of his prime influences. He lists von Trier.
You're lucky you escaped obstruction.
Lucky I came home alive.
Yeah, you're lucky.
He has got a pile of those grand jury prizes, film critics awards from London to New York, Chicago, Toronto, Saturn Awards, Writers Guild Association Awards. And again, if you've never seen his films and really want to kind of freak out, check them out. Malkovich, Adaptation, Eternal Sunshine, Spotless Mind. They are nuts in a great way. He's married. He's got a kid. Lives right here in Pasadena. Happy birthday, Chuck.
All right. Say hi to your neighbor, Pat Hayden. They're in Pasadena and Pat O'Brien.
Don't forget about me.
Yeah.
Who I know, Charles. Good friend.
And Colleen Williams. We'll be right back with nothing. Tomorrow we'll be on at 3. Enjoy.
You know, it's going to be B Pat O'Brien.
It is.
That's what he wanted. He wanted it to be Pat O'Brien. I was like, nah, I did it.
Coming up next, okay. Bruin Insider. Rivalry Week version. So more relevant than ever.
Did you know they wrote Blackbird about me?